the most exciting thing you can start a show with.
Coming live from the 2SER studio.
This is a great show.
Across the park, 2SER.
And just go for a swim, but like deep.
Come on in, meatball.
Testicles. You're pointing at the doggy.
Gummy Momo.
Pretty awesome.
In our worries, I have good footy.
Which part of that was
becoming the real problem with that? Bloody.
I can stand a prick.
Oh, bloody bird.
Let's not do this.
Oh, the corner injury. You got a corner injury.
Hello and welcome to Across the Park, a sports program on 2SER that is about as useful as a Victorian security guard. Alrighty, my name is Joel Kassam, and boy, have I got a show lined up for you. This show, to be exact. I'll also be joined by my two co-hosts as well as a special guest. Back after having another sick day, it's a woman who's decided she'll be running for president. It's Gabby Morris.
Hello, I'm back.
Welcome back, Gab.
I'm often sick, everyone. That's why. Or sometimes I just, don't want to hang out with you guys.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Even in Zoom. We don't not even hanging out. You just don't.
I know.
That's fair enough. I don't blame you. Also joining us is a man who was recorded playing golf this week.
What the hell?
What was that?
It was poor humour. It's Mick Rad.
What a way to be introduced. I don't know what to think about that.
Ian Poulter, I think his name is.
Right.
PGA Tour.
What, he dropped the phone after he hit a shot?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, big fight. And then
all those mics like pointed at the ball,
exactly.
To get the ball noise.
You can hear that.
Was it televised?
And, yeah. Someone's in the background like, did you mean that for that to be that loud? He's like, did you record it?
Wow.
Sounds like something you're going to do. Cool.
Disgusting things we talk about.
Golf's trying to be controversial. I mean, if that's how controversial golf can be, then sure, why not?
That's it.
Compared to the NRL, that's nothing.
And we are very excited to have our first Paralympian on the show. It is without a doubt the most sportiest thing we've done in weeks. Coming in live from the lockdown state, it's Jenny Blow.
Hang on, where are you, Jenny?
I'm in Melbourne. I was reading today where the epicenter of Australia.
Oh, okay. That could be the new number plate.
This is just as exciting.
The epicenter state.
Usually it says the place to be, and at the moment it's probably not.
The place to be.
Wait, so you're – okay, well, you're in lockdown.
We're not in a hot spot, though.
You're not in one of those postcodes.
Yeah, no.
Your postcode
now all of Melbourne is locked down, so –
Look, we're not that far off. We're not going to tease you. It's okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Calling anything a hot spot in Victoria in the middle of winter is pretty unlikely.
Mick made a weather joke.
Yeah, that was a new low for you, Mick, actually. You've made a terrible fart joke. This is awful. We've got a lovely guest on here, and we're just ruining it. We're not used to it.
I believe that makes you a true Melburnian, though, if you joke about the weather.
That's true.
That's the rule to become a Melburnian is joke about the weather. Because I'm originally from Sydney, so I'm a wannabe Melburnian.
Oh, you've moved there. So you're used to Sydney people making fun of Victorians, and now you have to cop it because you're a Victorian.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, because I would say Sydney-siders, we probably hate Queenslanders more than we hate Victorians.
Mm. Right?
I think we just think Melburnians are just, like hipster young sibling or something. But Melburnians hate people from Sydney. They really
hate them.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, you must hate us. And like, no, they're like Queenslanders.
You're a waste of time.
All you guys.
We didn't even know you were down
epicenter.
There.
I think pretty much everybody just hates Sydney people. That's just
I think that's it. Actually.
I hate Sydney people and I live here.
Yeah, I just hate people. I'm actually noticing that I'm getting more and more annoyed and aggravated by people. Like, I'm just like, oh, God, you people. Oh, gross people. Oh, God.
Everyone's just disgusting, aren't they, Gab?
And the kids.
Oh.
The bloody kids.
The bloody ankle biters.
Feral.
They're super spreaders. No, I'm just kidding. I'm actually just kidding. This is not one of those shows. We must move on.
Gabby, you were away last week. Everything okay?
Where was I?
Sick.
Away.
Oh, I was sick. I wasn't on holiday. No, I had a cold, which has been stressful, obviously, because you're like, I've got COVID. I mean, I've thought I've had COVID maybe 20 times since COVID happened.
Yeah.
So it's been an up and down, like, you know, solid 4 months.
How many tests have you had, Kat?
I've only had one because I've only had like proper symptoms just this last week. So I just had a cold, but I went to the drive-through COVID clinic. What a lovely experience. They were so friendly. They were so kind, really chatty.
And then they jabbed something in your brain.
And it was absolutely fine. It was like not even that bad.
I think when my mum had it, they said to her, if this doesn't hurt, I'm doing it wrong.
No.
So did it hurt you?
No, it didn't hurt at all. It was okay. Like, I mean, I was a bit stunned. I was a bit like, he said, are you okay? And I was like, oh, I'm fine. Sorry. I was just like, went into another world then. Like, I was like,
that was enjoyable.
It didn't hurt.
You stuck that little swab a little bit too far, didn't you, Gab?
But you know what's gross is that they swab your throat first and then they put it up your nose.
No.
Yeah.
Yes, no. 100%. They swab
the same throat. Thing.
The same thing.
No, no.
Yes.
Lucky they don't do it the other way.
Well, that's exactly true. Right. But I was like,
all the same muck.
I suppose so. Yeah, I mean, totally. Well, I suppose it is.
But I mean, so the 2 days of waiting for the results are even more stressful and anxiety ridden because you're like, who have I seen? What have I done? What have I touched? How many things did I touch? How many people? Oh, God, everyone's going to die.
Yeah.
And then you just get the text message and you're like, okay, hey, guys, fine.
have you had any close encounters, Jenny?
No.
He's in the bloody epicenter.
Yeah. Oh, at the moment we have because obviously, you know, we found out that we're going in lockdown on Tuesday. So, and it didn't start till midnight Wednesday. So obviously Tuesday and Wednesday everyone went out for dinner and pubs and stuff because last chance in 6 weeks. And some people we went out with, they now have their housemate being tested because they were a close contact. So it should be fine. It's a friend of a friend of a friend. But
Yeah.
Should be fine.
That's fine.
How about you, Joel? How you doing?
Yeah, look, I'm fine. I got nothing. I got no news. I got a new chair.
Oh, look at that sleek gaming chair.
About as exciting as it gets.
That's a good potting chair.
You've now turned that sexy bachelor pad even sexier now.
I think that gaming chair.
Like, yep. Girls just love that. Your miniature cricket bat and that gaming chair.
Electric drum kit, a guitar you don't play, and a chair.
Jenny, they're picky on me.
It's hard not to.
Mick,
I'm all right, Joel. All right. No, nothing much to report here. Just a hectic week at work because of Melbourne. So everything in this last week has been Melbourne's fault. But that's fine. I'll get over it.
All right. Look, for people who have never heard this show before, including you, Jenny, I mean, how do we best describe it without using any expletives? We're sort of like, I really don't know. We're meant to be a sport show. We don't ever talk about sport, but then sometimes we do. Is that a good way to describe it?
It's a vague sport show.
Yeah, okay.
Like are honestly one of the closest thing to being the sportiest thing we've ever done on this show. Like you're an athlete. And
I think our last
really
guest was a comedian. Who else did we have? Oh, someone who was stuck in quarantine. That was another guest who didn't do any sport. So, yes, it's nice to have an actual sports person on the show.
We often talk about sport and how it affects you and your relationship with sport because we all love sport. Everybody often has a history with sport, every person, whether it's good or bad. So it's more about, like, people's experience with sport, negative, positive, you know? Not negative and positive. Now I'm thinking of COVID. You know what I mean? But obviously for listeners, as you're listening, we're still doing this all via Zoom, via the internet. We haven't been able to get back in the studio. So it's been how many months now? 3. We've done all our shows via Zoom and online.
This is either episode 11 or 12 for us via Zoom.
Yeah.
So that's a long time.
I think we're back in soon, by the way. I did talk to the boss yesterday and he indicated that we could be in by as early as next week. So stay tuned.
Ah, Mick, that's some wonderful news. Thank you very much.
It is.
Now that Gabby is frozen.
Depending how much Melbourne spreads to you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We'll probably ruin that for you.
Well,
we'll see. We'll give it time. Jenny, you're on the show. Thank you. We obviously got you on just to talk about you. We're very excited. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? You're obviously a Paralympian. How did you get into it?
So it's more fun usually when, you know, you stand in front of people because and I always say when they're like, oh, I'm a Paralympian, and I go, yeah, so I'm missing a leg. And when you see me, I obviously not missing a leg. And they look at you and they go, what? I'm like, yeah, give it a tap. And they like really carefully like poke it because people don't understand. Like when you say Paralympics, you're like, oh, yeah, people in wheelchairs, amputees, things like that. No, I have four limbs, but I'm vision impaired. So I was born with a condition called oculocutaneous albinism. So got just really white hair, really white skin, and it affects some part of your eye, something that affects your eye. It's underdeveloped or something. So I can see just really, really poorly. It's really hard to explain. It changes so much. So it's generally bright light and outside and stuff is worse. I can't control the movement in my eyes very well, so they wobble a bit. I don't know if you can see it over the camera, but sometimes if I focus, they wobble. The kind of definition of the vision is, so say you guys were looking at a car or a tree or a person or whatever, and say you were standing 60 meters away from that. Obviously, you'd still might be able to see the car. Maybe you couldn't see the person depending on what the color of the background was, but it wouldn't be in very much detail. So I see that same amount of detail at, it varies, somewhere between 5 or 6 meters.
Okay.
Does that make sense? That's the easiest way to explain it. So I just have to be a lot closer to things and nothing will have the same amount of detail that you guys will see. But I still see colour.
Glasses do nothing. Like, obviously you wear glasses, but it doesn't help you with the distance.
No, they just help. I think they help control the muscles in your eye.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
I got to ask, when you said you're standing in front of people and you tell them about the Paralympics and they like want to knock on your leg, have you ever thought about putting a bit of wood in there just for a joke?
No.
Okay.
Next time.
Okay.
I just, you know, when you're at the pub and stuff, I just carry around a piece of wood.
Yeah. It's a tough joke. I understand. You play goal ball. That's your sport. Well, I don't think the three of us have ever heard of goal ball.
I have.
Oh, sorry, Gabby has, obviously, because...
But I just wanted to claim that.
She knows everything.
Gabby, had you heard of it before you took photos of it?
No, I didn't. I had never heard of it. Yeah, no, I haven't. Yeah, tell us. Tell us all about goalball. Yeah. I just wanted to say sorry that I got cut out. It was ironic that I was talking about how annoying it is doing this show by the internet and I just disappeared. But I'm back. Hello. Yeah, Jenny, yeah, sorry for that. But yeah, tell us about goalball.
All right, so goalball, think of it kind of like dodgeball in that, you know how when you play dodgeball, you don't have contact with the opposition. You're on two separate sides.
Yeah.
So you're throwing the ball. So that, imagine that. Now imagine everybody's blindfolded, everybody. Mm-hmm. So even though I just told you I could see, I'm blindfolded. And instead of, so everyone's blindfolded completely, like to the point where we actually wear like makeup sticky pads over your eyes, they're taped on, and then you wear a blindfold. So there's no way you could cheat. There's like, if your blindfold comes off, you still can't see.
Yeah.
So dodgeball kind of set up, but three people on each team, everyone's wearing a blindfold, but the ball has a bell in it. And there's one ball. So everyone's playing by listening to the ball, but the ball is 1.25 kilos. So it's quite heavy. For like a sport.
Yeah.
And how big?
It's like basketball.
Basketball, yeah.
And then your aim of the game is then the opposite of dodgeball. So you want to throw it at your opposition, but instead of dodging it, they want to get in front of the ball and protect. There's behind each team, there's a goal, and the goal is 9 meters long. So like a huge soccer goal. So it's 9 meters long and whatever, like a meter and a half tall. And so your three players want to defend that goal, like soccer goalies. Yeah. And if it goes through, that's a point. Otherwise, they block it with their body and then pick it up and throw it back. So you kind of defend, there's rules about how often the ball has to touch the ground, because if it's just flying through the air, you can't hear the ball, you can't hear the bells.
Yeah.
So there's where, so you can either like kind of underarm tempim bowling style throw the ball.
Yep.
Or you can kind of do like a bounce. It's not particularly bouncy, so, but you can do a what we call a bounce throw. So it will touch the ground a minimum of 2 times before it hits the player. So you get 2 noises kind of. So you kind of defend, people listening, you definitely have to YouTube it because it's very hard to explain. But you kind of defend, I guess, on your hip on the floor. So you're kind of in a crouched position and then you dive out either your hands or your feet to defend it. So you kind of defend on the floor, but then you stand up and throw it with, you know, do a running throw and with your hands.
I think there's a few obvious questions that I have that I probably everyone would ask. How often do you smash into your teammate when you're trying to go for the ball?
Depends how well I know my teammates. So, like, I guess when we're playing, you know, the Australian team, we're good. We don't. In training, we do, though. Like, there's some pretty funny ones. It's always funny when it's caught on camera, too. Because occasionally in a tournament, like, there might be a miscommunication or something because 2 people will go for the ball or something.
Yeah.
But in training, yeah, there's some good ones. I think last year, one boy went down to pick up the ball and I went down as well, not knowing that he had gone down to pick up the ball. And his head comes up and smashes on my nose.
So I was imagining like these really tragic like head clashes and stuff like that. Yeah.
So not normally, but it does happen.
Talk to each other and communicate. Yeah. Like, do you have to pass it to each other a certain amount of times before you score a goal? It's just.
No. So you can, we generally do pass because there's 3 people on court and your centre player is more of a defensive player. So I play centre. I more defend. I'm not the greatest thrower. So I'll pass to my teammates because they're better throwers than I am. But you don't have to pass. Like, I can throw back too. You can talk as much as you want amongst your team, except for once you've released the ball, or someone in your team's released the ball, then you can't talk. The other team needed. So you can't.
Yes, of course.
Because you can't, like, mask the sound of the
ball. Yeah. Wow.
And it's, like, no contact, obviously. Like, you can't go and, like, take the ball off the other players. Or
how far forward can you go?
You technically could run as you just
could you go up to halfway.
Yeah, so not to throw. So you have to throw. So the length of the court is 18 meters, which is a volleyball size. The ball must touch the ground. I'm going to do my maths quickly here. There's a line at 6 meters from the goal. So 6 meters from the goal, it has to touch the ground once in that 6 meters. And then it has to touch the ground in the next 6 meters.
Right. So you couldn't just go sit in the other person's goals, get your teammate to pass it to you and, like, you know.
No.
Like,
offside, Gabby, offside. That's awesome. I still think they could have come up with a better name, though, because goal ball just feels a little bit fake.
Mick, there's a ball and there's a goal. What more do you want?
I think it's really good. Clear, precise.
Lions ball, bell ball, I don't know.
Bell ball, yeah, that would be cool.
You know who else loves balls with bells in it? Cats. Because my cat goes crazy by little balls with bells in it, and you roll it down the hill on the road? Down the hallway,
and
just like crazy. He's like, "Wow!" So I reckon cats would love goal ball. They're your biggest fans. I'm just saying.
They might like to watch. Yeah, just
they
like
get
tennis.
Yeah,
maybe not get pegged with a ball.
When did you first compete for Australia?
2010. So I started playing in 2009 because I just grew up playing normal sports. I was pretty crap at sport, but I just played netball in the lowest grades. And then I was at uni and there was a lady who was wanting to develop a kind of a junior version of the game to take to schools because it's quite brutal, the official version. So she had like a softer ball and mats and things like that. And she wanted some people to go out to schools and teach it. And I was doing education at uni. So I was like, I'll learn to play so I can teach it. And then she's like, we actually need a New South Wales team. I was like, this is fun. And my friend at the time was also doing it. I'd known her for a while. We're like, we'll just go to nationals and get thrashed and used to that growing up. So yeah. But we were okay at it. So they're like, oh, do you want to come to an Australian team squad camp? I'm like, okay. And then just kind of went with the flow. And then, yeah, 2010 was World Championships. And so we went over to Sheffield in England.
All right.
Yeah, how'd you go there? 10 years later. We did all right. So we came eighth, which was pretty good because we were a fairly new team. There was a couple of people who'd played before internationally and for quite a while. But three out of five of us were new. That was our first international tournament. So not a bad result for
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow. So who's the best team in the world?
Turkey at the moment. They just have this girl who can just throw but you know how I said the ball has to touch the ground in the first 6 meters.
Yeah.
Most people will make sure the ball touches right on that 6 meters, right? Because then you've got less reaction time to defend.
Opposition.
Whereas she can bounce the ball that high and that quick that she needs to bounce the ball. She bounces it well before that 6 meters and it still only bounces twice. And when you've got to defend it, like when you're on the floor, you need to make your body so big to stop her ball. It's really, really, she's an incredible player. So America are pretty good. Asian countries are pretty good. Japan and China are good.
Yeah.
Russia is very good, but I don't think they're allowed to compete yet. I think they're still banned for doping.
Yeah, I was reading something about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they're allowed at the next Olympics.
Unless they get exemptions or something, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So how damn bummed are you that the Paralympics have been delayed?
Yeah. At first I was like, meh, no biggie. Now, like, as it's gone on, I'm like, no, this sucks. This is really because you put your life on hold, like, you know. And because it was called in March, I think. So...
Yeah.
We were full in, like, not just, we're 12 months out, kind of, we've got 12 months to prepare. We were like, you've got 6 months to prepare. Like, we were in full on training and prep. And then to go to nothing. Like, obviously, we're, you know, doing home workouts and stuff, but I'm in Melbourne, so I'm not back on court yet.
Yeah. How do you,
So.
All right. It'll happen, hopefully.
How do you?
I don't think it will happen. I'm not
really.
I'm trying to ignore that, but like I'm still training and I'm still thinking, right, we've got 12 months, but I don't think it'll happen.
There's not either. I mean, I think it could. There's just too many people, and even like without crowds.
Yeah.
You
know,
if you had got rid of the stadium and the crowds, it's even the volume of athletes and their teams, and like already that's just too many people in spaces.
One spot. Yeah.
Yeah.
And in all different countries, like you can't just say, Brazil, America, and Russia, UK, these big countries with all the cases, can't say, oh, you guys aren't invited.
Yeah.
It's not an Olympics.
Although it would be nice.
Yeah.
Australia wins.
We'd do better.
So I don't know if you guys spoke about this already because I keep cutting in and out. I'm really sorry. But you went to London and Rio.
Yeah. So London was my first. And then Rio was really interesting, actually. So we probably controversial me saying this, but by the official goal ball rules set out by the International Blind Sports Association, we qualified.
Yeah.
Like by their rules, 100% we qualified. But then the African region protested to the International Paralympic Committee because they just kind of said they needed more time because they were an undeveloped region and things like that. And so they were granted, an exemption and because we were the last team to qualify, they took our spot, which was against the rules, but they protested and won their protest. So we went through the phase of like, right, we didn't qualify. And then 8 weeks before Rio, Russia was banned. And we took their spot. Yeah. So
Otto went off again. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why I think this really sucks with Tokyo because, you know, London was just a whirlwind because I was so young. It was the first one. It was, there's so many people, you know, opening ceremony, all that kind of stuff. Crowds. We're not used to playing in front of crowds.
Yeah.
Goalball doesn't have crowds. But like at the Paralympics, there's huge crowds. So, you know, London was such a whirlwind, and then Rio was just a mental roller coaster. And then now Tokyo is screwed.
Oh, and they're just so far apart.
Yeah, I would have probably said this was my last.
Oh, no, but you're still right. You're still really young.
Yeah, it just takes up a lot of your life, though.
Yeah, true.
Training, and you're always away. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
We love a bit of goss on this show. Is there any Paralympic goss?
Yeah, what happened in Rio and London? Give us we know that they're just also juicy hotspots, those Olympic athletes all just, you know.
Oh, the village. On.
village Olympic.
Look, what happens on tour? That's
it. Very good answer.
But
very good answer.
It's when everyone's finished competing, it's very fun.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And
it's like
our Australian like team and management look after us when it's party time.
So good. I'm really sorry that you guys, I'm hoping, let's cross our fingers for Tokyo in 2021, right? 2021?
Yeah.
Crazy. But it's still called Tokyo 2020 because
just to confuse us. Yeah. They didn't want to change the branding.
No, but also I'm happy to do 2020 over again. Like we can just do a redo. Just
sounds
start
good.
Over, a replay.
Mm-hmm. do we want to try and do a game before we close this?
Yeah.
We've only got a few minutes.
Cocktail or Pony. So we've been doing
What was that? What was that? I missed it.
Cocktail or pony?
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to say either a name. It's either a cocktail or a horse. Jenny, okay? Sounds terrible.
So again, this show has nothing to do with sports.
Yeah, nothing. Oh, well, horse.
Yes, yeah, thanks.
Equestrian. Okay. Gin Mule, all right? Is Gin Mule an Audrey Sanders mashup cocktail, also known as a Ginger Rogers, or an American thoroughbred racehorse who was the 11th winner of the United States Triple Crown of thoroughbred racing?
I reckon this is a double trick question because it's got like a cocktail and a horse in the name. Oh my God. I'm going to say a horse.
Yeah, I was going to say a horse as well.
Gab?
I was frozen for that whole time. So cocktail.
Frozen cocktail is correct.
Oh.
another one? Let's do another one.
Sure.
This one is Desert Orchid. Gin, lemon, and soda water, or an English racehorse known as Desi?
English racehorse.
Yeah, horse.
Mm. Horse racehorse.
I'll go cocktail then to be different.
Oh, no, Jenny. Change it.
Change it. Oh, horse.
Horse is the correct answer.
Yay.
Okay, I think you can retire this game, Joel. Jenny, thank you so much for joining us. This has been
amazing.
No worries. Thanks for having me. It was good fun.
Thank you, Jenny. And really, we hope next year happens. I know you a little bit. We really hope it happens, and if it does, we definitely have to get you back on.
After Australia win gold, done.
Yeah,
because
no
one else is invited because they got COVID.
All right, well, thank you, Jenny, and
thank you so much, Jenny.
You're called the Australian Bells, right? I didn't get to that bit. I like that.
Bells, so we're called the Aussie Bells, as in Bells.
Yeah,
like bell of the ball.
Nice.
Are you going to be, you know, before the Olympics, hopefully playing anywhere else? Or is it just straight?
Yeah, we were meant to be in Sweden this May. So we'll go to Sweden next May.
Okay.
And I think maybe we might be in America at some stage next year too. But none of us really want to go to America at the moment.
Oh, I watched for Sweden too. But yeah, you know.
Yeah, Sweden's not great either.
All right, thank you so much, Jenny.
I mean, Melbourne's not any better. So
can't even leave Melbourne at the moment.
You can't even, yeah. Oh dear, what a world. Yeah. Thank you so much, Jenny.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
No worries.
Bye.
That's it. That's done. That way we wrapped it up. There.
Yes, hello, welcome to One Last Thing on 2SER 107.3, our very own budget tonight show. We're still here, we're 4 weeks in. My name is Mitch By, taking you by the hand and doing one last thing together for the week. Tonight on the show, going to look at the biggest news stories of the week with the old mate, Take Murray Olds, will join us shortly. Going to be crossing into the future with our future correspondent, Tom Roach. You'll find out where he is and what we've got to look forward to, and a brand new segment this week. Going to be talking Kenspiracies with a new correspondent, Kenny, but all about those conspiracy theories that you may find popping up in strange times like these. We'll dip into a particular juicy one a bit later on, and plenty of great tunes for you to SER Friday evening, of course. Let's do it. Let's do one last thing together. You're on to SER.
If it must be done, let it be a labor. It must come down, let it fall from heaven above. There's not much difference in the twixt and between when you're gone. In your mind, always reaching for an outstretched refrain. Play it one more time. If it must be.
Tune to One Last Thing, 2SER's very own budget tonight show on 107.3. My name is Mitch Biden. And around this time every week, we have a look at what the biggest news stories were. And to do that, we have the old mate Take with Murray Olds. Good evening, Murray. How are you doing?
Mitch, very good evening to you. Yeah, not too bad tonight. Thanks. After a what you got to say has been an enormous week for domestic news here in Australia. Coronavirus and indeed the latest attempt to give China a kick in the bum from Scott Morrison.
Yeah, so, I mean, people may have forgotten about all the issues in Hong Kong that had been going on for so long. And, of course, it hasn't gotten any better. And a pretty interesting law was passed recently, and that's led to some action on this end. What's transpired over the week, Murray?
Well, basically, China had enough of the pro-democracy protests in Hong Kong. No surprise there. The big surprise to me was that Beijing waited as long as they did before essentially imposing mainland Chinese law on Hong Kong. That was never going to happen under the, you know, one nation, two policy, you know, two separate identities, if you like, when Britain handed over Hong Kong to China, you know, all those decades ago. And the imposition of that law is being used now this week by the Australian government, Mitch, to say, well, okay, you've changed the rules. Those rules no longer apply. We're tearing up our extradition treaty with Hong Kong. China has effectively extend the welcome mat to, at this stage, 10,000 of Hong Kong students who are studying here, effectively saying we will extend your visa, and if you want to stay on here in Australia at the completion of your studies, you will have basically an armchair ride to become a full citizen. How far that extends, we have to wait and see, but it's not hard to see it being extended to other leaders in Hong Kong, entrepreneurs and so on. It's a very smart territory, very smart young people from Hong Kong go and study all over the world. And I think it's Australia exploiting the opportunity to say, well, okay, if you want to come and stay here and give us your expertise, you're very, very welcome indeed, particularly given the Chinese crackdown on dissidents in Hong Kong.
And obviously that move by Australia is going to cause and ruffle a few feathers for China, and it follows in a bit of a pattern over the last couple of weeks. Just how much can we push it? Because we're so reliant on China in so many ways, and trade being the biggest one. Do you think what we do has any impact? What's the likely reaction to be, do you think?
Well, I think we've got a taste of the reaction so far, and I think it's been a pretty measured approach from Canberra. It's a good question you pose, because Australia can't cut all ties with China. They are by far our biggest trading partner. At the same time, China does need Australian coal, iron ore, food. So it's a delicate balancing act. So Canberra, Scott Morrison, very careful not to push the bear, or the dragon, I should say, not to poke the dragon too hard. What Australia's done ties in with what Britain has done, ties in with what the United States and Canada have done. And that is that part of the Five Eyes arrangement between Britain, the United States, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. And, you know they've been talking about Hong Kong. So it's part of, I think, an international campaign designed to say to China, we don't like what you're doing in Hong Kong. You've broken the rules that you agreed to when Hong Kong was handed over. And the Chinese response isn't hard to gauge. We've had a taste of it already from Canberra. And that lunatic down there, who was the current Chinese ambassador, he is a fair dinkum. I mean, he's doing what Beijing is telling him to do, but he sounds like a comedy routine from the two Ronnies era. He says, I'm just looking for a quote here, it's gross interference in China's internal affairs. Tick. It's a serious violation of international law. Tick. Australia must stop meddling in internal Chinese affairs. Tick. And I love this one. The changes that Australia has promoted are like someone lifting a rock only to drop it on their own feet. Tick. Bit of Confucianism thrown in at the end there. So, look, China's going to be absolutely pissed off, no doubt about that. It will see Australia's action as part of a broader action against Beijing. And we know, at the end of everything else, the Chinese people have to eat. They have to keep industry powering along with our iron ore and coal, which are the biggest exports we do send off offshore, and particularly up to China. So it's a delicate balancing act. They know where we're coming from. We knew where they were going to be coming from. How far this goes, it's a whole new dimension. You know, don't forget Scott Morrison just recently flagged an extra $270-odd billion worth of expenditure over the next decade on defence, including long-range missiles. including a much enhanced cyber warfare capacity and a much enhanced underwater capability for Australia. Who's that aimed at? Well, I don't think it's aimed at, I don't know, Singapore. It's aimed at the big player up in the Northern Pacific, and that is China, no doubt about it.
I do love when they use that kind of flowery language. There's been a couple of examples recently, one being Australia is the gum on China's shoe, and there was another one, a crack about America, Australia being America's kangaroo or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, a tame kangaroo, I think it was it.
Well, there you go. A look at one of the stories you may not have got as much focus this week on One Last Thing. Thanks for the old mate take, Murray.
You're very welcome, Mitch. Anytime, buddy. Have a great week.
You're on One Last Thing on your Friday evening to SER's very own budget tonight show with me, Mitch Byde. Hope you're doing really well. And it's time to go into the future, as we do each week with our future correspondent, Tom Roach. Now, last week, he had a bit of an R&R episode for us. He kind of morphed to a bit of a travel show, but I'm hoping he's back on the future horse this week. How you doing, Roachie?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, Mitch. Thanks for asking. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really well. Thank you for asking. No one ever asks me, so it's really nice to be asked that question.
Oh, well, I always want to know how you're going, mate. You're a nice guy and you deserve to be loved.
Thank you. Well, I want to love you too. So tell me, how far in the future are we going this week?
Look, Mitch, after my failed attempt of R&R, I'm back on the workhorse. I've strapped myself into the time machine, the 2SER time machine, and I'm heading to the year 2022.
2 years in the future. Let's do it.
Well, Mitch, year 2022. It's been a big year. For some. In fact, as I've discovered, there are people enjoying this year much more than others. Mitch, as you know, I have a passion for the truth, for justice, and for the truth. And you know that when I walk past a stone, I make sure that stone is turned.
Massive stone turner.
So get ready for an expose, mate, because this is going to rock your world. I'm putting the rumours to rest. So, Mitch, do you remember that hit radio show from the early 2020s, One Last Thing?
Yeah, I do. I do know that show real well.
Yeah, I bet you do. I bet you do, mate. Do you remember the host of said show?
Yeah, yeah. I think you were quite generous in calling it a hit show, but yeah, I know the host quite well. He's a fine, upstanding man.
This is very revealing, mate, very revealing. Well, celebrity host and small-time criminal and loving father Mitch Byatt has walked out on his 2SER contract with mere decades still to run. In doing so, he has deserted the ever-young Murray Olds, the devilishly handsome Tom Roach, and also the music guy that comes on at the end of the show. All have been left devastated. They are devastated with no idea of when they'll be paid for their years of service and comedy gold. It is understood, Mitch, that Mitch has taken up an offer in the lucrative adult podcasting space. Apparently he felt his time on One Last Thing, and I quote this, was too childish. Fans from across the world have been stunned by these revelations. Tears shed, radios destroyed. Marissa and her family have retreated to the famed nudist resort, Nudie Rudy's, for the foreseeable future.
Camping out.
There are many questions left unanswered in this saga. How could Mitch do this? What will happen to this ragtag group of misfits? Did I leave the iron on when I left the house this morning? But rest assured, Mitch, this is just the start, and I will get to the bottom of this.
So you're not going to go into that now? You're just leaving us hanging on a massive cliffhanger?
Yeah, it's a cliffhanger, and to be honest, I've only just read the news story, so I think there's a bit more investigating to be done.
Well, it is breaking news. I mean, I myself have many questions. As for that decades contract at 2SER, I mustn't have read the fine print of the contract.
No one ever does, Mitch. That's why they make it so small.
And as for the payment for you, the ever young Murray Olds and the music guy comes at the end, there was certainly some fine print that you must have avoided there.
Yeah, well, it is a bit disappointing. I do sit by my letterbox every week waiting for the payslip to come in. But you know that I do the news for love. Nothing more than that, but, you know, every now and again, a beer would be nice.
Well, there you have it. Some exclusive breaking news featuring yours truly and the One Last Thing production team of 2SER. Roachy, I can't wait to see where this goes and what I learn about myself in the coming weeks and years.
Yeah, well, we're all going to learn, mate, but I just hope that for the next 2 years we can enjoy each other's company until this fateful day.
In the heart of a Harlem sight, a man and a woman made love one night. But 9 months later, to both their joy, out came a bouncing baby boy. He seemed quite normal as normal can, but the doctor said it's strange, he's got a mic in his hand. As I grew older, I began to see all sorts of problems floating around me. Cars, girls, money too, it seems there's nothing I can do. But at the end of the week, from coast to coast, I'm the vicious MC that rocks the most. I'm MC lovely with a golden hair, with matching jewelry, I do declare that these rhymes were made for me. I'm one in a million, there's nothing to be. I said whip, wop, skilly D. Tonight, young lady, make a love to me. One time, or two times would blow my mind. Before I came here tonight, I said to myself, I better put my vicious rhymes up off my shelf. MC Lovely is on the mic, he's gonna do all the things the fly girls like. I'll do your bate, groove your mind. Tonight I'm sure that you will find that this young man is out to prove he's guaranteed to make you move. So take off your coat, call out your name, cause this is going down in the Hall of Fame. I'm MC Lovely with the magic touch, the one young ladies love so much. So if you feel like a rockin' and you got the dip, grab your partner and move your hips to the beat. One time, or two times to blow your mind. I'm MC Lovey, the lady's choice. They love my body, they adore my voice. I pulled up at the disco, hopped out my ride. I took a look around and went inside. When MC Lovey walked through the door, everybody yelled for a little more. I walked up to the table, I said to the crew, come on, young brothers, what you wanna do? They said, MC Lovely, where you been? This battle of the DJ will surely win. So I said to my Mello, are you ready to flow? With the DJ cuts and the MC shorty said, lead the way, we're gonna follow you. You got the rhymes, the cuts, the ladies too. I don't know why they feel this way. The only thing I can really say is,
we want to party!
We're gonna party, everybody! Cause I like the work I do, and from the looks of things, they do too. I'm gonna cut the wheel so you can't resist, young lady. I said it goes like this. I'm MC Lovely, I do it good. I rocks the party like you knew I would. And get all your money, cause you can bet that Lovely is the MC you should get for your disco and your party. To the beat, everybody. From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, I can cut the wheels, rock the mic, and do you so viciously. In my heart, young lady, this is true. I want to make sweet love to you. How in the world can I make you see that you're the only one for me? I give you all my money, diamond rings, whisper in your ear all those little things you like to hear from time to time, straight on out or in a disco rhyme. But either way, I like to view the fact that I do love you. Tell me, young lady, did you catch the point? MC Lovely will rock the joint one time, or two times to blow your mind. Hey everybody, did you catch the point? MC Lovely will rock the joint one time, or two times to blow your mind.
Are you a 2SER supporter yet? Be eligible for free gig tickets, movies, music and more when you sign up for 12 months. and you'll be a part of the 2SER community that we all love so much. Head to 2SER.com/support and click the supporter button to sign up. Stories, ideas, music. 2SER 107.3.
You are in One Last Thing on your Friday night, 2SER's very own budget tonight show with me, Mitch Byatt. Hope you're having a great night and get up for the weekend. Now, we've got a brand new segment for you this week, which is very, very exciting. Now, we're living in pretty dark times, and in dark times, people turn to other sources of information, and one of those sources is conspiracy theories. For some people, they answer questions that the mainstream media don't quite answer. And so we here on One Last Thing have our very own conspiracy theory expert, Kenny, and he brings you this segment, Kenspiracies. Good evening, Ken. How are you?
I am excellent. Thanks for the excellent introduction, Michi. It's the first time I've been called an expert, and I could get used to it. I liked how it sounded.
Yeah, well, good. Well, so you're more of an expert than me, which makes you more than qualified to talk about this. But tell us, before we get into whichever conspiracy theory you're going to start with, what makes you an expert? What makes you a conspiracy theory expert?
Well, like a lot of people in lockdown, I've been consuming a disturbing amount of streaming content. And one particular genre I've been drawn to is that of conspiracy theories. So, like, some of them are wild, and you may think, oh, how could people possibly believe this, and others you're like, all right, hang on, maybe you're onto something here. So, like, it's a fascinating world, and I've only dipped my toe into it, but the well is deep.
The well is deep, and we're happy to jump in with you. So where are you going to start? I mean, there's so many out there, and they seem especially ripe at the moment. Which first conspiracy theory will we digest this evening?
Well, I'm going to go with something that is quite topical at the moment, and that is Jeffrey Epstein. So as most people will be aware, he's quite a bad man. And after watching Filthy Rich on Netflix, which is a documentary all about the rise and fall of Epstein, it kind of delved into, and towards the end, the more fall aspect, because there's quite a conspiracy that he, in fact, did not kill himself in prison. So I'll take you through the whole spiel, if you will. So rose to fame as investment banker, made a lot of money, and with incredibly wealthy people, they're also incredibly connected. So he was known to, like, you know, hang out with pretty big names like Donald Trump, Bill Clinton, Prince Andrew. So he rubbed shoulders with quite the rich and famous.
Yes. And we're seeing, especially this week, lots of photos of Epstein with some of these big dogs. So, yeah, as you said, quite a well-connected individual. So when does it get weird, Kenny? When does it get weird?
Well, so one of the many accusations leveled at Epstein was that he ran this underage sex ring on his private island, where he potentially filmed and blackmailed a lot of these high-profile personalities. So where it gets weird is because when he was finally indicted, been dodging the law for so long now, institution just before the trial in a correctional facility, and then that's where he was found dead in custody. But where it gets kind of dicey is so many things just went wrong for that to actually happen, because you can imagine this is a pretty high-profile case. This is a big name going down. This has made the news worldwide over. And it's like, how is he allowed – or like – been in a position where foul play could you know, occur. So things that went wrong was apparently he wasn't checked on regularly while in custody, which was prison policy. The guards outside his cell were asleep at the sign of the incident. The cameras in the cell were malfunctioning on the day of the incident. I know you're thinking, okay, this is getting pretty weird. And apparently there's this little small bone in the front of your neck called your hyoid bone, which was broken in his case, which is very common in strangulation.
What?
But not necessarily hanging, which is how he was found with his sheets and stuff in the prison cell. So they're like raising a few questions there.
Yeah, so it's almost like a comedy of errors sort of led to his demise in a lot of ways. And so I guess the fuel for the conspiracy is all around who done it. Is that kind of where we're going?
Exactly. It's because he's got some potentially some high-profile potential enemies if this leaked blackmail, because apparently he filmed a lot of his private island lair against the clientele's knowledge. So he's got a lot of these secret tapes, is the theory out there. So to silence him and so he wouldn't be able to kind of implicate anyone in court, the theory is that, like, that the powers that be, the man behind the scene, pulled a few strings and gets things done. So whether is that the current US President Donald Trump, former President Bill Clinton, is it the man who can't sweat, Prince Andrew? It's this could be royal family intervention. Did they kill Princess Diana? That's another episode. It's plenty of content.
That's for next week. This is going to go on forever. So I mean, this one's got everything. It's got a lair. It's got blackmail. It's got all you need for a great conspiracy. So what do you think, Kenny? Do you think there's some truth in it? Should we score this conspiracy theory? How do we rate it?
Oh yeah, I like that idea. I hadn't thought that far ahead, but it's a brilliant suggestion. I think maybe the most important scale for a conspiracy is its plausibility. So let's go with the conspiracy theory out of 5 rating, how plausible this could be. I think this rates quite high. This is a 3 out of 5.
Wow.
This means it could very well be real. It's just, the people that believe this might not be all nut jobs.
Might be a few non-nuts who are caught in this conspiracy net. And I guess this one gets even more interesting this week with Ghislaine Maxwell, I believe her name is. So there's plenty more to be seen here, I think.
Well, the evidence could come out against these rich and famous anyway, because she might have the tapes. Who knows? She might be found in a compromised position in a prison cell soon as well. So who knows? Watch this space.
It is a big, bad world out there. But luckily, our dear friend Kenny, with his conspiracy theories, will show us the light and show us the true meaning behind the world. Thank you very much, Kenny.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Kia return with the fuzzed out Anthropomorphia, the new 2SER feature album. It's a record that sees the three-piece experimenting with drum sequences, layered synths, and doubling down on acoustic and electric guitars for a sound that's both cozy and expansive. Anthropomorphia from Kia, the feature album on 2SER 107.3. Stories, ideas, music.
That's the show for your Friday night. Thanks for doing One Last Thing together with me, Mitch Byatt, on 2SER 107.3. Big thanks to Murray Olds for his old mate take for the news of the week, to Tom Roach for his future correspondent, some very scandalous information concerning myself and the show, and to Kenny, our Kenspiracy theorist. Looking forward to see what he digs up next week with his little tin foil hat. Stay tuned to 2SER. Have a great weekend. I'll see you next week. Be good.